Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would like to thank God for all of you that have dialed into the show tonight. You have dialed into Ministry Impossible. And I'm your host for tonight, Minister Sharon Rambus. And so our show's theme is There is Nothing Too Hard for God. And our mission is to empower and equip the people with the Word of God, and it finds its scriptural basis and footing in Luke 18, chapter and verse 27. And so Ministry Impossible comes to you on the air every second Thursday and fourth Saturday of each month, and our show dates, our next show dates will be Thursday, October the 11th, and Saturday, October the 27th. Once again, our next show dates will be October the 11th and October the 27th. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So no matter what comes your way, you should have a made-up mind, a purposeful mind to rejoice and be glad, because God has been good to you, because of the goodness of God. So we always start the show off with prayer, because the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous avail of much. It also says that men are to always pray and not faint. And so God has given us prayer as a weapon, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when you pray, God listens. And when you listen, God talks. And when you believe, God's work. Once again, when we pray, God listens. And when we listen, God talks. And when we believe, God works. Amen. May we pray. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to live under the condemnation and the clouds of threats from the giants in our lives, the giants of sickness and bad diagnosis, the giants of lack and loneliness. Because, God, you have created us to be giant slayers. We shall no longer be bound, but thank God we are free. We're free to love and to live in the purpose and power in which you have created us. So we say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. And so there is a word tonight. We'd like to thank God for this preaching opportunity. We hope that you recognize the goodness of God in your life. And so I come to understand and believe that even though a lot of things we go through don't always feel good, a lot of things that we go through don't always look good, but I declare that the Bible says, and I believe that God is working them out for our good. So no matter what you face today, just hold on to the promise that God is working it out for your good. And so the word of God tonight will be found in Luke 7, chapter, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7, chapter, verse 36 through 50. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this preaching moment. We ask that something is said or something that is heard will cause your people to be strengthened, to be engaged and to hold on just a little while longer, to love a little stronger, to love a little deeper. And so we thank you for your word, for we know that your word is true. Your word is healing for our soul. So now, yes, as you bless your people as we listen to your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke 7, 36 through 50, it reads, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of oil, fragrant oil, and sat at his feet, behind him weeping, and she began to wash her feet, his feet, with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to him, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain debtor, a creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love little.' And he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" And just for a few minutes tonight, I just want to discuss with you, encourage you tonight from the thought that he saw the best in me. He saw the best in me. And so God sees a lot of value in you. God sent his son for you and not just for a select few. Although there may be those around you who will act as if they're more special and more exclusive to God, but I come to tell you tonight that you are the apple of God's eye. And God sees glorious things in you. He sees the best in you. He knows full well what you are capable of. In 1 Samuel 16 and 7, it reads, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So when God looks at you, he sees the best in you. He sees what others don't and what others refuse to see in you. And so we will hear a little later, but we all heard the song from Bishop Marvin Sapp. And then so, and that's what his title is derived, where he says, "He saw the best in me." And so the song says, "He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me." Then it goes on to say, "He's mine and I'm his. And so it doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am." And so that's good news tonight. So no matter what other people see, it's good to know that God sees and saw the best in you. And so, and that's a good word tonight, because some people, right in your circle, right on your block, right in your neighborhood, and unfortunately, I have to say, right in your church, right in your own family, refuse to see the best in you. They love to point out the bad things that you do, the bad situations you find yourself in, and the bad decisions you make. But I don't know about you, but I thank God that he saw the best in me. And so in our text tonight, we see a woman who is described and looked upon as a sinner. Yeah, some of y'all can find yourself right there, because some people have tried to lock you up in the sins that you've been known for and sins that people know about you, but they quick to forget the stuff that they did. But oh, they even faster to point out that stuff that you did. And so this is where we find our woman in our text tonight. She's been called a sinner. But my Bible tells me that we all are sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And unfortunately, as in time passed, we still have people today that love to point people out. But I'm so glad that he saw the best of me. And so just like this woman, she was pointed out, fingered, separated because of some of the things that has transpired in her life. And so we can learn a thing or two from this woman tonight. Because as we walk through the text, we'll see that although they were looking and pointing and even name calling, and she didn't stay in the situation. She didn't get caught up in the situation of defining herself by what they called her. She knew who she was and whose she was, because she was willing to take all the humiliation. She was willing to take all the name calling to get to Jesus, to worship Jesus, to wash his feet. And so even though she knew she probably would have been ridiculed, talked about, dogged out, she knew that Jesus loved her. She knew that all she was and all that she could ever hope to be was found in Jesus. I know I got a witness out there tonight. You can find yourself right in that same position. And so tonight, the first thing I'd like to point out, because Jesus saw the best in you, you don't have to care about what others think of you. And so, and that's what this lady realized. She realized that Jesus saw the best in her. And so we have to be like this woman to don't allow people to define us, to define us by our dilemmas and by our bad mistakes and our bad choices. Because if you let people define you as those, you get stuck. And you think that that's all you're designed to be. The late Bishop G. Patterson once said that I had to be delivered twice in my life. He said he had to be delivered from sin, and then secondly, he had to be delivered from people. And so if we get sidetracked and put too much weight on what it is that people are saying about us, we'll get caught up, we'll drive ourselves crazy. And so we have to stop overthinking some things and stop spending time in those negative thoughts. Because I realize that most of the time when we think we are being judged, we probably not. And so we're sometimes our own worst critic, but I'm so glad that the word says that now, right now, that thing that you've been condemning yourself over, now, there are therefore now no more condemnation. So stop dogging yourself out. Stop putting yourself down. Repent and move on. Because once we lay it at the altar, once we give it to God, God said he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. He don't remember it no more. So why are we still digging it up? Why are we still rehashing and reliving? And so we don't have to care about what others think of us. And then secondly, as we realize that Jesus saw the best in us, we have to be more confident in ourselves. We have to be more confident in realizing, just like this woman, in who we are and in whose we are. And I'm not saying to have confidence to the point that it leads to arrogance. But have confidence enough to the point that you're able to live out Philippians 4 and 13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so just have the confidence of Philippians 4 and 13. And so one thing that I want to convey to you today that it is, you must believe in God, and you also must believe in yourself. Because God has placed a lot of things inside of you. God has sacrificed some things for you. And so tonight you have to believe in yourself. And then finally you have to believe that you're forgiven. And so this is where that confidence comes from. Because a lot of times we think that we cross paths and turn corners and enter some places of no return. But I come to encourage you tonight that God has forgiven you. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and all of our iniquities and all of our thoughts. And so when we repent, when we pour out our hearts to God, listen to what David said in Psalms 51 and 1. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." And so, and that's how David, yes, David was an adulterer. Yes, David was a murderer. Yes, David was all of that. But one thing God said about David was that he was a man after his own heart. Yes, David messed up, but David knew what to do after he messed up. And so we got that model, we have that example of David to confess our sins. Confess our sins to God. And so a lot of times we get on Facebook and we try to confess our sins to those fake friends. But God said, confess our sins to him. And David said, against you, Lord, and only you have I sinned. And so tonight, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus saw the best in me. He saw the best in you so much that he died on an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. He saw the best in you. He said, "I'm exchanging my righteousness for your sin. I must be wounded so that you can be healed. I must die so that you can live." He saw the best in you. He said that I would take the nails in my hand and so that with your hands you can hold on a little longer. He saw the best in you. He said that I would take the nails in my feet so that you can run this race. He saw the best in you. And so tonight, sometimes God allows people to see the worst in us so that in the next season of your life, they will see the best in you. And so, and when they see you go from your worst to your best, don't get too caught up because it's not about you. Then they will have to proclaim that it is all about him. Because not only will they see the best in you, but they will see the best in him. Because it's only a God that will be able to take you from your worst to your best. And so tonight, whatever state you find yourself in, you might be considering it to be one of the best and one of the worst times in your life. But no matter what you see yourself as or where you see yourself at, I come tonight to encourage you that he saw the best in you, and he sees the best in you. So don't let nobody twist your thinking. Don't let nobody knock you off your square, because Jesus sent his son to Calvary and he suffered, bled, and died, and he rose early Sunday morning. And so he did all of that because he saw the best in you. And so we thank God for seeing the best in us, because the only good in us is because Christ lives in us. And so tonight, by chance of you listening to my voice and you have not made Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not chosen him Lord over all, today will be a good day. I recommend Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, because when you are surrounded, when you're surrounded by bad situations, he's the only one that can make it work it out. He can work it out for your good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for seeing the best in us, even when those around us only seen the worst. They reside to only see the worst. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being there for us. We thank you for being true to your word, that you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, we ask that you will incline someone's heart to follow you, to lean towards you, to give you all of their burdens, to cast our cares on you, for you care for us. And we thank you and we praise you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And so tonight I'd like to thank you for tuning in to our show. And so we hope that these words have encouraged your heart. So once again, our next show will be on October the 11th and October the 27th. God bless you and good night. Thank you.